I'm ready to make my credits count.
I'm ready to take classes from a university that will help me build on my experience to prepare me for the future.
A university that will make me feel supported, encouraged, and connected.
Click this ad or go to online.odu.edu today.
Hey, I'm Alan McGuire.
And I'm Jean Sutton.
And this is Roast Chestnuts, a Christmas podcast where we have made-for-TV Christmas movies the respect they deserve.
And today we have no guest.
Yeah, we thought it'd be interesting to see what it's like with no guest.
And also someone was sick.
Yes. I mean, it was slightly out of our hands, but we're going to make the best of it. So the film we're going to talk about is Enchanted Christmas.
Yes, it's a 2017 Hallmark movie. Mm-hmm. And it stars a husband and wife team.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, they're husband and wife in real life.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't do any extra research on
this one. Okay. So Alexa Vega is the lead, and I don't know the name of her husband.
Okay.
The reason I know her name is she is one of the Spy Kids.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, she's only 30.
Huh.
And he's only 29, the husband in it, yeah.
All right. Yeah,
okay. So they play, they're a real life couple in real life.
Yeah.
But in the movie, they play ex-boyfriend and girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Who meet up together many years after they last saw each other, and Christmas works its magic. And they also competed in Dancing with the Stars the same year, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Individually they were, neither of them are actually dancing in the stars like pros. They're both contestants. Okay.
There is a Dancing with the Stars pro in the movie though.
Oh, is there?
Yes. The one who's a very bad actress, Taylor.
Okay.
Because I was like, this girl, how did she get this part?
Yeah.
And then I Googled it and I was like, because she has no acting experience. That's why she's so bad.
Yeah, because she's a very, very good dancer.
Yeah, great dancer. Mm. But yeah, so dancing is a big part of this movie, which is that was probably why you picked it, was it, do you think?
Yeah, it sounded good. It sounded like there was going to be more salsa and it just seemed like there's something we hadn't done before.
Yeah, and also you would be a Strictly fan.
Oh, I love Strictly.
And I'm a fan of Strictly drama.
Yeah.
I was all over the Sean Walsh scandal this
year.
Yeah,
that's...
That dog.
That was most awkward. So for anybody who doesn't know, Sean Walsh was a contestant and he was caught in the street shifting his pro dancing partner, Katja Jones.
The night of his girlfriend's birthday.
Yeah. And the night that they did an excellent Matrix pasodoble. And then, so there's a daily show in between, weekly shows called It Takes Two, where they have to go on and... dressed all in very somber black and apologised for their behaviour.
Yes.
And it was the most awkward thing I've ever seen in my life.
And then his ex-girlfriend posted a note to Twitter.
Yeah.
And it was exquisitely crafted.
Mm-hmm.
And ends with her saying, I took the cat.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And also he spells his name with two N's, Sean. Mm-hmm. And then in the note she put his last N in the name Sean in brackets. And it was just...
devastating.
Excellent. Well,
vicious,
done.
Vicious stuff.
Like, should be unreal in the years. That's the level of... Everyone was talking about it.
They were, in fairness.
It was a beautiful distraction.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's... So we both like dancing drama.
Yes.
Like Dirty Dancing, great film. Other good dancing movies.
Strictly
include,
Ballroom.
Yeah. Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Step Up to the
Actually,
Streets.
None of those. I should get on those.
Very good. Magic Mike 2. Dance movies.
Excellent films.
Yeah. So we're into dancing and we're into Christmas.
Yeah.
So we should have loved this movie.
Yeah. And there is a lot to love in it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't quite work for me. And we'll get into why as we go on. So we start off, we meet the main character whose name I have not taken down here.
Laura.
Laura. Yes, Laura. She's a busy single mother, has a precocious child.
Mm-hmm.
She has a nice house.
In LA.
She is hurrying her daughter off to school and she's hurrying off to work herself.
She works in a place called Pleasant Getaways.
Yeah.
Some kind of property portfolio company.
Seems to be, yeah.
Yeah, for hotels and stuff. And she's a widow as well.
Yes, very important. So her boss has bought the Enchanted Lodge, which continues our theme of impractically named hotels like the Mistletoe Inn.
Yeah.
Which their names only make sense at Christmas, really.
And it's in Rosemont, Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And Roger is her boss. He's a billionaire and he's just, this is what's happening. And she's like, I don't want to go there before Christmas. I have to take my child out of school. And he's like, I don't care.
Yeah.
So he's not a flexible boss.
He's not a great guy. So she has 8 weeks work to do in 4 weeks.
Yes.
And she has a boyfriend who is a bit like a Ken doll.
Yeah, and he seems fine at first.
Yeah, at first. And she mentions that she doesn't dance, but we know that she does, or did.
So from early on, we know that the hotel, the Enchanted Lodge, has a big dance show on it.
Yeah.
In it, and she's connected to it somehow, and she's only letting people know now.
Mm.
But the one thing about this job is it's back in her hometown where her dad lives and where she lived with her husband, I believe.
Yeah.
So she's being forced to go home. She doesn't really like going home.
Yeah, it seems that she's kind of avoiding her father. But then we meet her father.
And he's pretty cool.
He's lovely. Lovely man.
But we don't know what happened.
No, it's true.
So she's really not looking forward to doing the job, but she has to.
Yeah.
So she blackmails her daughter into coming home. Her daughter's called Nikki.
Mm-hmm.
She tells her, oh, there'll be snow. And then they do a really nice drive.
Yeah.
Because they did shoot some of it in Utah. I don't know about the rest of it, but the exterior of the hotel was shot there.
Yeah.
I believe. So looks like it's going to be fun. Like, looks beautiful. And then we meet Granddad, and he's real young looking, and he's making tamales.
Yeah.
And he just seems like a great crack granddad. He's young. He's up for cooking. He loves seeing his granddaughter.
Yeah. Seems like a very nice man.
Yeah. I'd live with that man. I'd be like, I'm not moving out. You make tamales. You're great.
Yeah. So we learned that her old dance partner is also home and his name is Ricardo. And so we cut to him going through a routine with his partner, Taylor. And it's very, very good. As a Strictly connoisseur, that's an excellent routine.
That's because you're watching a Dancing with the Stars professional and a Dancing with the Stars amateur.
Yes.
So you're watching a good dance.
Was she his actual partner, I wonder?
I don't know. I didn't do that much research.
Yeah.
But Ricardo danced his way out of Utah. He la-la landed, as I say. And he's the hometown boy made good. And he works in as a travelling professional dancer.
Mm-hmm.
The Michael Flatley of the Enchanted Lodge.
Yeah.
So he has this huge studio. It's really nice.
Mm.
And he says he's every Christmas CD ever made.
Yes.
So he's like, this is what Christmas is all about.
So we also meet his Aunt Claudia, who is a very
frazzled woman.
Frazzled, but in charge woman. And he's very unusual for a male lead, I think, because he has two female confidants with no romantic interest. So he has his aunt and he also has Taylor. There's no romantic thing with him and Taylor at all.
No, they're professionals.
But they're friends and professionals, which the male leads never have female friends in these.
Yeah.
So the fact that he has two, even though one of them is aunt, is, I think, notable and good, I think.
I liked him.
I liked him too, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think he's the best actor, but he was still likeable.
No, he was fine, yeah.
Yeah. So then we go to the cafe.
Poor Alicia.
Alicia gets a bum old deal in this film.
Yeah, one of the worst ignored best friends, I think.
I would say so. I think she's the epitome of the friend with no one in her life.
Yeah,
I think.
She's a barista pal.
Yeah.
She might own the place or manage.
She comes up with new drinks for there. So she's definitely some kind of.
And there's one scene where she comes up with a new drink and Laura takes a sip and then puts it down and walks away.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Like, she's just treated like shit. And she does up their Christmas tree. She goes to her house to do up the Christmas tree.
I want to get to that later when it comes up because there's more to say about that.
Because Alicia, I just felt bad for her.
Yeah. The weird thing about that cafe is that everything is glowing in there. It's like the sun is shining in from all 360 degrees around it.
It looked lovely.
It looked lovely, but it was because there was literally glow lamps behind their head everywhere they were.
It was so cozy.
It was nice. It did look very nice.
So we see a bit of Laura's job.
Yeah.
And she arrives at the hotel. So Laura basically she's a project manager to make sure this hotel is refurbished and everything. She's got a great guy working with her named Ed.
Ed the foreman.
Yeah, Ed was great.
Mm-hmm.
But do you follow Laura DeBarra on Instagram?
I do not.
She's Aoife Barry's sister.
Okay.
And she works with a property company doing up apartments.
Mm-hmm.
So I follow her obsessively on Instagram. And she's got a kind of a cult following. And I was in my element, I was oh my God, this is a Laura DeBarra job. Where she's going to take this apartment. It's going to be amazing by the end. There was a stolen Dyson or a Dyson went missing recently. And I've been WhatsApping people about it.
Okay.
So I was really excited for Laura's job because of the Laura I follow on social media. So yeah, Ed's great, has his shit together, and yeah, he's there to help Laura.
Yeah. So Ed brings her to see the ballroom because he knows that she used to be in the thing.
Yes.
And he says, are you ready for a blast from the past? And Ricardo literally blasts through the door and bumps into her.
He's there to check out the ballroom because he's taking part in a show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they don't, like, for a couple, they have no chemistry.
Yeah. Sometimes real life couples don't on screen.
Yeah.
So
there was a real, like, glaring lack of, I'm sure they're really happy together.
I know there isn't actually an age disparity, but there seems like there's an age disparity. He looks like 24, 25.
He's 29, I think.
Yeah, and she's 30. Yeah. But they seem slightly different. What else happens then? So her daughter wants to be in the show with Ricardo, but she has schoolwork, which apparently is more important.
And the grandfather is teaching that he's basically slacking off the schoolwork and having fun with the granddaughter, and she's very much like, what are you doing? We need to chat about this.
Yeah.
And then he teaches her about, like, the cookies, using fractions of cookies.
Yeah.
Which I enjoyed as a learning aid.
She seemed too old to be learning about fractions, though. Was she?
Well, the actress is really young in it.
Okay.
You know, she's 30. How old is her daughter? Her and Ricardo were going out for a while. And then she met another guy, had the baby.
Yeah. So, true, actually. Okay, yeah, no, that's fair enough. I'm being too critical.
And I kind of feel like her widowhood was really, you know, not acknowledged, and we didn't really get much about that.
Yeah, actually, right here I have a note, how did her husband die? Because that's never established, as far as I know.
Yeah, we never, and he must have been young.
Yeah.
And I just want to give a shout out to some good widow novels that I've read.
Do it, go for it.
Body Surfing by Anita Shrev is good, very good. And Forever Interrupted by Taylor Jenkins Reid is one I mentioned earlier. And she's going to be a kind of a buzzy name next year because she's a book out that's based on, what's that band, Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. Based on them, their early days and how they were formed. But she has a rake of other novels that you can read in advance of the new one.
Yeah.
And they're all really good. But Forever Interrupted is a good one about a young woman who her new husband goes out to get her cereal and dies on the way back. And she meets his mother at the ER room and the mother won't accept her. And it's just really good. But yeah, I kind of felt like you could have had an interesting narrative about a widow and we just decided, fuck it, no.
Yeah. So she goes home. She's just watching old videos of herself dancing with Ricardo.
Yeah, on like VHS. And you're like, VHS probably ended long before this.
Mm-hmm.
And Ricardo has talked her into letting the daughter dance, has he?
Yeah, I think so by then, yeah.
Yeah.
But she just, it doesn't go well first.
Oh, yeah.
She can't get it and she's a perfectionist. So the grandfather steps in.
In a weird sort of.
It's really weird, isn't it?
I like it, yeah.
Yeah, so he gives her. Basically, he tells her that her friend thinks she's better than her.
I didn't understand it at all. Yeah, and so he's. Tool.
Yeah, it's like you want to beat this girl that you've just pretended is that you think is better than you.
Yeah.
Even trying to explain it out loud now, I'm confusing myself.
Yeah, I was like, even watching it, I was like, how the fuck is this getting through to the child?
Yeah.
It's like, it's not getting through to me.
Yeah, but somehow it does.
I'm taking notes. And then, yeah, but you know what? Ricardo seems great with kids.
Yeah, he does.
He seems like a really good teacher.
Because we see Taylor teaching them and she's on her phone and just calling out 1, 2, 3, 4 over and over again. Whereas Ricardo is actually like doing some moves and like watching them and interacting with them.
Then they go for, I like this scene, her and Ricardo go for a walk.
Mm-hmm.
And they see, she starts asking about his least favourite, a lot of hotels this year.
There is actually,
and
yeah.
She asks him, what's your biggest complaint about hotels? Because you travel a lot, and his was like, the soap was too small. Good complaint.
Yeah.
And then he asks her her Christmas wish and she's like, to fall in love again. And he doesn't really tell us his.
Yeah.
So.
It's very mysterious.
I know. I think we all know what's going to happen though.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought that was, you know, she talks about to fall in love again, but yet we don't have a big, deep, meaningful conversation about her husband and being a young widow and why she moved away and was it the memories of the town?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's weird. It's okay, so the next scene is where we need to start talking about her friend Alicia. because she comes home to find Alicia in her father's house decorating a Christmas tree.
Poor Alicia.
Alicia has nothing going on. She can go be there without her friend. I kind of get the feeling that maybe Alicia and the father have a thing.
I'd love it if they did.
It'd be nice.
Yeah, why not?
They'd be a handsome couple.
Yeah.
He's a very young looking grandfather, so.
He's a good looking man.
Yeah, he is.
Very handsome.
Yeah. Yeah, if I came home and found one of my friends decorating my Christmas tree with my father, I'd be very weirded out, but Laura seems fine with it. So.
There's also some office drama. Her boyfriend back in LA.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Scott. Is screwing her over by rewriting progress reports, is it?
I think that's what, yeah.
Yeah, he's a bit fucking sly. Mm-hmm. But you know what? It's weird to work with someone you're seeing.
Yeah. I mean, I started seeing Carla. We were teenagers working part-time in a supermarket. Not the same thing.
Yeah.
We weren't up for like, the same promotions or anything.
Maybe you fucked her over in the promotion.
She did leave a couple of months after we started going out. Just because she was in her leaving search.
Just to keep it professional. Someone had to make a sacrifice.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and also Taylor then, turns out Taylor's after getting an audition in London for some European show and is going to go and leaves them in the lurch.
Yeah.
So Laura is passing by and Laura remembers her and Ricardo's dancing days. And suddenly she's now in the dance, so she's got to rehearse as a dancer. And she's also got to get this hotel project over the line. And I was so stressed. I was like, oh, everyone's doing too much. Laura's doing too much. And I was like, this sounds like a disaster. And it's Christmas. And she's a single mom.
And she's trying to deal with all her feelings of being back. And Ricardo's there. And her father is better than she remembers.
She needed a holiday.
Alicia has a lot of shit going on that we need to get into, but we won't. And yeah. Also, when she gets there originally, the fountain's missing from the hotel, which bothers her because it's very important to her.
Yeah.
But Ricardo is like walking through a kitchen and he sees something he likes. And then we realise that Ricardo has found and assembled a fountain by himself in between teaching all this other stuff. And now the fountain is back.
He so taught himself how to make a fountain.
He did. Yeah. Did it for love.
He just went on WikiHow. Then they do, we see their dance and they're really good.
Yeah, they are.
But we don't get a montage at this stage, but we get lots of montages later.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of montages.
Yeah.
But yeah, at first I was like, where's my montage? And then I was like, no, we get one later.
Yeah, no, they have good dance chemistry. That's where her chemistry is.
And there's a really good scene where she explains how her muscles are aching because she sits at a desk all day and dancing and exercising. I was like, what a dose of realism.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, yeah, we all have that.
Yeah. So Scott arrives from LA while she's dancing with Ricardo and sees this. And
does he? Is there not like a scene where the dad gives out about Ricardo at some stage?
Oh, yes. That's before the fountain.
Okay, yeah.
Yes, her father's worried. Yeah.
And
my notes for this are patchy, I would say.
Okay.
There's a couple of sentences so far where I've been like,
say it's where he's like, listen, because Ricardo basically left to do professional dancing and left her, chose the dancing over her.
Yeah.
So the father just remembers picking up the pieces and she did get married quite soon after Ricardo left.
Yeah.
And there's also a scene where Ricardo, they go up a cable car, but I kind of turned off for a bit.
Yeah, I kind of backed that bit out as well.
Oh, there they are by a mountain. How wonderful.
Yeah, see, the problem with this film, I think, is we were talking about the pacing is a bit weird.
Mm.
Where it's just the same, like, problem with the dancing, problem with the hotel, resolved. And then they repeat that like 3 or 4 times.
And yeah,
it's kind of a void in the middle of the film where it just feels like the same couple of scenes over and over again.
And yeah, there's a bit where the furniture isn't going to arrive for a couple of days because there's no vans. And I'm like, America's full of vans.
Yeah.
Why is this an issue?
Like most Americans are truckers of some sort,
yeah,
from what I can tell. Yeah.
Yeah, you're not in New York, you have a van.
Someone has a truck. Maybe Utah's different. Maybe there's no truck drivers in Utah.
Yeah, there's no cars in Utah.
Yeah. Mormons aren't allowed to drive trucks.
And then he gets to the fountain.
Yeah.
So the boyfriend's then out and he keeps saying, oh, this is a team effort.
Mm-hmm.
So making sure she doesn't get too cocky
about
all the work she's after doing with Ed.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just being a real minimizing bastard.
Yeah.
And
he keeps on speaking over her as well and changing what she wants to do.
He queries an invoice as well.
Yeah. And she wants to have like analog guest sign in. He wants tablets or something, or just the other way around.
She wants desktop, which makes complete sense, and he wants tablets. And you're like, when has a tablet ever worked for longer than 20 minutes?
Yeah.
I'm like, this has never happened in the history of humankind.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a dickhead.
So, we have the scene where she tries her friend's coffee drink and takes one sip and leaves, which is just...
She does answer her phone like every time it rings, but then I'm also like, she is getting a project over the line.
Yeah.
Really fast. And yeah.
Yeah.
I'm ready to make my credits count.
I'm ready to take classes from a university that will help me build on my experience to prepare me for the future.
A university that will make me feel supported, encouraged, and connected.
Click this ad or go to online.odu.edu today.
Also, Taylor gets the job, the tour job, but only if Ricardo goes with her. So Ricardo has a decision to make. And Nikki likes Utah now as well, her daughter.
Yeah, she wants to move there.
Yeah. But I would say don't plan your life around what like a six-year-old's current whims are. That seems like a bad idea to me.
Again, we don't have six-year-olds.
We don't.
Yeah, so I imagine we'd be quite different.
I would move to Utah, I would say, from LA.
Tan France lives in Utah.
Does he?
I'm pretty sure he does, yeah.
Okay, well maybe it's
like
okay.
He's in New York a lot, but I think his base is Utah.
Interesting.
I think him or his partner might have their company there or something. Uh-huh. I'm pretty sure he lives somewhere like that.
Okay, maybe it's not all
also,
that.
Also, isn't Sundance in Utah?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, Utah isn't what you think it is.
No, doesn't Nicole Cliff live there as well?
Yeah, it's like...
Okay, so that's Utah's the greatest state in the nation.
Yeah, it seems like the houses are really big there.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I'm a big fan of space. Mm-hmm. So space isn't the concept of having room.
You can't get a drink on a Sunday, but you have a big old second sitting room. So it's fine.
Yeah, in the like wooden beams.
Yeah.
I think it sounds nice.
Big old fireplace. Like, okay, yeah.
I think the hotel in this looked nice.
It did. Yeah,
it looked
like
a place I wouldn't mind to hang out in.
No, if compared to the other hotels you've had, it's as nice as the Mistletoe Inn, much nicer in the Chesterton. So
Chesterton. I don't even want to get PTSD thinking about the Chesterton. I'm like, keep thinking, oh my God, imagine if you just stay in Chesterton.
Yeah.
So Taylor delivers her ultimatum, mm-hmm. and we don't know what's going to happen.
No.
Because
he left before.
Yeah. So. And meanwhile, we overhear the boyfriend talking to the billionaire boss at the beginning, and he's bad-mouthing her. He's being a snitch. Mm. He's not even being a snitch. He's just lying.
Yeah.
And saying, like, oh, she's doing a real fucking bad job.
Yeah.
And it's like, fuck you. I hate snitches.
Yeah.
I go, you know how I feel about snitches in my notes.
Mm-hmm. And there's a really nice detail with Taylor where she talks to Laura. And realize if Ricardo does stay, she doesn't hold it against Laura. She understands. She's never antagonistic towards Laura about whether Ricardo goes or stays, which I think is nice because she could have been the other girlfriend or the other girl in this one, but it never actually develops that way. She's always a friend who understands, which is, yeah. It's not great for conflict and for drama, but in a realism level, it's nice.
Yeah, I kind of feel if you wanted conflict in this, right? Mm-hmm. The grandfather should have been her dead husband's father.
Oh, yeah.
And he is the one who doesn't like her moving on. He's the one who wants her to move home because he doesn't get to see his grandchild.
Yeah.
And I feel that that could have been a good conflict. Mm-hmm. The in-law who you don't have really a tie to as much, but they want to see their grandchild. So I felt like her relationship with her father, that could have been fine, but that dad could have been her dead husband's father. And that's where the tension could have been, that he doesn't go to LA and he wants to see his grandchild and he feels he's left out of the life. I think people could have identified with that as well.
Yeah.
So that's what I think it was missing was, some great obstacle to overcome.
Yeah.
She gives him a bit of a Solomon's choice answer as well, and that she lets him go. Like, she rings him and leaves a voice message. Says, "Go dancing if you want to go dancing.
Yeah.
Do what you want to do." Mm-hmm. And he's given it out that way.
Yeah.
So then there's Eddie approaches the co-worker / boyfriend and he basically says, you're to go up and tell that man Laura did an amazing job. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, I'm going to do something to you or something like that. Yeah. And I was like Eddie.
Yeah. So the Christmas decorations in this film, it's they're like a parasite that just expand and take over the whole hotel. Every time you come like back to the hotel the next day, the glow and the shimmer, and there's just more holly and ivy and reeds and lights everywhere. So like the whole hotel is just this glowing mass of Christmas decorations and lights. It's like, I think it's like the most Christmas decorations per square inch of any film we've seen.
Why not?
I'm very into it. It was very nice.
Do you not want to move to Utah now?
I want to live in that hotel. I want to live in a Christmas hotel.
So yeah. Mitt Romney from Utah as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not all good.
I just think in retrospect, binders full of women wasn't a bad idea. It's a really good way to keep positive discrimination to have.
Yeah, I mean, I know so many women. I need a filing system. Isn't, I guess, the worst thing when you compare it to who's there now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keeping CVs on file isn't that.
Yeah, we're a pro-Romney podcast now, I guess. We're pro-everything Utah.
I would love to go to Utah.
Yeah, I don't see it.
Yeah, because I wasn't a big New York person. I was like, and then when I went to Pennsylvania, I was a big Pennsylvania person. So I think I was just like, I think that is in New York.
Yeah.
And New York's great. It's just not for me.
Yeah.
I'm a very specific type of person.
No, I really, really like it. My wife is not as big a fan, but I love
it
there.
Why doesn't she like New York now?
Too big. She feels a bit overwhelmed there, I think.
I kind of feel like, another way, everyone's like, oh no, you find all these cool places. And I'm like, I have never found the cool place, no matter where I've been.
Yes.
So, you know.
Yeah, adventures and stories are stuff that happen to other people. I'm always like, how do these things... And I realize, oh, you talk to people. And when people talk to you, you talk back to them. It's like, I don't do that.
So I don't have that immediate charm. Yeah. Yeah, people are like, oh, hey, you really find your tribe in New York? And I'm like, I just couldn't find my way out of the subway. I had a really stressful time.
Yeah.
I went to like the library and I like that.
Oh yeah, I went to the Ghostbusters library as well.
On holidays. Yeah. Sorry, I love libraries, but that was my experience of New York.
We went to the cinema in New York. I like going to the cinema.
Going to the cinema in America is really funny.
We did it in San Francisco as well. It's great. Yeah. Yeah.
The way they start shouting at the screen.
I went to see Black Klansman and there was only one other person there.
Yeah, you don't shout at the screen though. I saw Harry Potter in Northern America and it was the funniest.
Yeah.
That I kind of like bring a touch to that when I go to cinema. Like I go, no, at the screen sometimes.
Well, the other place we went was the Alamo Draft House in San Francisco and you're not allowed to make a sound there.
Why?
They will throw you out if they see you on your phone. It's like a cinephile thing. But they have like table order food. They bring your like popcorn in a metal bowl and you can order like nachos
the
and beer and
thing,
stuff.
Like it doesn't bother me if say someone goes out if they see their phone vibrating and they leave the cinema.
Oh yeah.
But it bothers me when people start texting and WhatsApping.
And yeah, it's the fact there's another source of light in the room all of a sudden. Yeah.
And one person I stopped going to the cinema with, or I never told her why, I just started saying no things because she kept fucking doing that.
Mm.
She kept answering emails, looking at WhatsApp, and I was like, you are not on call. That is not your job.
Mm.
It's very different depending on your job. So when some places are really strict about that, I'm like, do you know what? It's real. Unless there's a family emergency, you can always put on silent and see the light, and then you can always grab your handbag and go out.
Yeah.
But like people who take the phone out and are there at the side looking at it, I'm like, oh. I'm like, I'm not into you as a human being.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cinemas.
So that's cinemas in America.
Not in this film.
No. It's a big night, the big opening night.
Yeah. And the kids are good dancers.
Yeah, they were actually.
They're really good. They're dressed pros. Up as weird reindeers. Like their outfits are a bit weird.
And there's two break dancers who we didn't see before who jump out. Which are unnecessary, I would say.
But their coordination's great.
Yeah.
Really liked it.
No, I've been to, because Caroline's sister was a kid dancer. So I've been to a lot of pantos and stuff with kid dancers. And they were very good kid dancers. They were definitely above the standard, normal standard, I would say.
And then Ricardo comes back in. Oh, like before Johnny that, Castle. Okay.
Before that, Laura's new grand manager of the Enchanted Lodge.
Oh yeah, she negotiated a deal with her boss.
And she's already dressed in the like a manager, general manager pantsuit.
It looks like she's going to have a great time in this new chapter.
I think she'll love it. Yeah.
Ricardo, as I said, comes back. Johnny Castle, back to dance.
Yeah.
Don't really know if he's about to stay. They don't really get into that.
No, because the film kind of makes us want Ricardo to give up on his dreams. And like that's a good thing that he's done that.
Like maybe what they could do is for the next 5 years, like do a long distance or something. Like I'm sure she's a different set of priorities as a widow with a kid and a new business that... Seeing him at Christmas and being open the rest of the time wouldn't be a bad.
I don't think open relationships are allowed in Utah.
Okay.
I think he can get thrown out of the state. Yeah. Or in Hallmark. Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah. what about those open relationships where there are affairs? Could they not just do those? ones without the conversation.
Again, not Hallmark.
Okay.
Yeah.
But their dance is amazing.
It's a wonderful dance.
Yeah, it really is. Really it's good. Really good. It's quick, it's good, and there's a kiss in the snow after.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I have here, like, what is Ricardo's career plan after this?
Yeah.
So I like the movie, actually, looking back. Like, I know it was slow.
Yeah, it was the little bit pacing was a bit off, but I did actually enjoy it. And yeah. The dancing was nice to watch. It was good to have someone do something
love
of that standard.
In a film.
Yeah. The final thing I want, well, two final things. Next we have Christmas Morning. And Alicia is there Christmas morning.
Poor Alicia.
Which is when I realised that Alicia and Dad are seeing each other. Because why else would she be there Christmas morning?
I hope she's delighted and I hope he drinks all her drinks.
I hope he brings tamales to her cafe every day and the tamales are really popular and that's how they got together.
Yes.
That was something he did to make up time when his wife died. He started making tamales and selling them in her cafe and they fell in love that way.
I was in a pub for my birthday.
Oh yeah?
And this man came in with a deep fat fryer and he plugs it in at the side.
Okay.
And he starts frying wedges and cocktail sausages. And he goes around and you give money and it's for a hospice.
Oh, that's nice.
And it's just the cutest thing to see a little old man coming in with a fucking deep fat fryer. Plugging it in. It's where I used to live.
Yeah.
And it was so nice.
Mm. Our local in Waterford used to have a function room. But it was something on the function and it was quiet outside. And they were finished food. They just bring all the rest of the food out to the bar and everybody would just get free function food. So we had our next day thing for our wedding there and we got to be the people dispensing cocktail sauces and chicken to the bar people.
You got to be Jesus with the fishes.
Yeah. One night we were there with it was me, Carl-Anne, my friend Trevor and his girlfriend Kate, and she's from Dublin and it was her first time in Waterford, and she's like, what if people like love vanilla slices? And we're like, what? No we don't. What? Doesn't everybody love vanilla slices? And then this man appeared at our table and went, and if you want a vanilla slice from next door, we're finished with the function. And we're like, vanilla slices? And we're all sitting there eating vanilla slices going, I don't know what you're talking about. Waterford doesn't know anything about vanilla slices.
I don't think I've had a vanilla slice.
Really? I didn't realise that was a Waterford thing until like last year. It's like more puff pastry and icing.
I have had it, but like very irregular.
They're very common. They're everywhere in Waterford. Like Supergwen uses them and stuff.
Would they be a thing in that place, Quigley's?
What's Quigley's?
Okay, Quigley's must be a Tip and Limerick thing then.
I think so.
Nina and Limerick, yeah.
Is it like a chain baker's or?
It's like a chain bakery where you can get soup. I think in terms of food, it's soup and they make up a sandwich. But it's mostly cakes and bread.
Yeah.
So it must be a Tip Limerick.
I'd say so, yeah. It's not a Waterford thing anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. But they'd sell a vanilla slice, but.
Yeah. Vanilla slices are the best. Everybody get a vanilla slice. Or a coffee slice.
I haven't had one in a while now. Where would I get a vanilla slice in Dublin?
In I'd say
this
you would, cause I didn't...
Gotham landscape. Can you tell I don't like Dublin?
You just want someone to bring you a cup of tea.
It's just been soured.
You know, something I remember the other day, and it would never happen in Dublin. So we only got a
someone
KFC.
Someone got a house.
Well, yeah, that. But we only got a KFC like 7 or 8 years ago in Waterford. Before that, there was a place called K Recipe Chicken, which was basically KFC, but just like without the name. And I was in a gig one night in Waterford, and in between the sound check and the actual thing happening, there was no point in me going home. So I went to K Recipe Chicken to get some food on my own. And the woman behind the counter gave me like a real knife and fork to go with my snack box and a plate in a fast food place.
I think it depends, though, what neighbourhood you're in.
Yeah, well, this is the middle of Waterford, like in the
yeah, if you're near a shopping centre, you don't get that kind of stuff. But like up in Fairview and a few places. See, I've lived now in, I was starting up the amount of neighbourhoods I've lived in since I moved to Dublin, and it's getting like worrying.
Mm.
So I've lived like every city centre postcode.
Yeah.
I've been in it for a period of time. But yeah, you do get some nice rip off fast food places, but it has to be somewhere that's not near a shopping centre.
Yeah.
There are some good ones, but there's a place in Blackrock. I haven't been there in a while, but you can get your takeaway down the road and you can bring it up and just do a table quiz, and they give you a plate and a knife and fork.
Nice.
And you can just do a table quiz on your own nearly, but we only did once do a table quiz. No time, we just had our takeaway in there. And I think that's a great service.
Yeah.
Like that a pub just lets you have your dinner in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a really good bar in Cork. And there's a really good pizza place 2 doors down, and they let you just get pizza from there and bring it into the pub.
I tried that now in my old neighbourhood, and they had a deal with the local pizza place, but I think it went sour. I think it's because people were just ordering pizza and having one pint.
Yeah.
And like lingering over a table for ages. It didn't work out. The menus disappeared. And nobody explained why.
Yeah. So, did you like this film? Last thing. Kiss wasn't very... There was a kiss at the end. Wasn't great.
Yeah. It was only okay. Considering they're a couple.
Yeah. I hope they're okay.
I think they are fine. They yeah. make loads of stuff together.
Oh, they're, that's good.
The two of them do a lot of work for Hallmark.
Yeah. Okay.
So...
They're probably fine, so. Okay, so yes, did you like the film?
I actually did, yeah. Looking back on it, I enjoyed it. Like, if it was on TV and I was at home, I would give it a watch.
Yeah.
Because it was quite relaxing. And again, there's a lot of dancing.
Yeah. I found myself checking my phone a lot in the middle of it, but I did enjoy it.
Again,
end.
No conflict.
Yeah.
I think that, and that we have another movie we're doing, Pride, Prejudice and Mistletoe, and that did have good conflict in it, in a way. So I think that one, but the screenwriter for that wrote Coming Home for Christmas.
Oh, really?
So that's why, yeah.
Okay, we'll get that. She's
a good writer.
Yeah.
So yeah, I do think a lot of these could do with screen testing, maybe, the scripts.
Yeah, but you know what? We've been quite lucky because this week I've just put on Christmas 24 and just left it on in the background. The films we've seen that we've thought were bad were pretty okay compared to some of what's on there. There's some really dodgy ones.
On Hallmark or like just other companies making them?
I think the other company, Christmas 24 is pretty generic. Well, not generic. I mean, what am I saying? Brand agnostic for what films it has.
Brand agnostic.
So we don't get proper Hallmark over here. If there was an actual Hallmark channel, I would be glued to it.
I know, I'd love it. The Skybox.
Yeah.
I'd be bringing it everywhere with me. I wonder if they're on Now TV.
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of have to choose between Hallmark or Sky Atlantic.
Because they don't put too... They do put Hallmark on Netflix, but not all of them.
No, it's very few. There's, what, 37 this year?
Yeah.
There's like 5 or 6
they
on there.
They do put good ones on Netflix, though.
Yeah.
The Christmas movies on Amazon Prime are like dire.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Amazon Prime, whoever does the search functionality and sorting, they're just going into work watching fucking a VLC thing on their computer. They're not doing any work.
Yeah.
I'm like, who are they? I want that job. Because it's one of the worst sorted things I've ever seen. You type in romantic comedy in the search function and nothing comes up.
That's so weird.
It's so bad.
Because Netflix have like full-time people whose job is to categorize stuff.
It's really weird because the Amazon book stuff is categorized so well. Amazon, like can openers. Amazing categorization.
Yeah.
But they can't categorize movies on their Prime. They're just not bothered.
That's true.
So they just have Marvelous Miss Maisel and they hope to lure people in with that.
Which I'm going to do. I'm going to watch that this Christmas. Not yet. I'm going to get Amazon Prime trial and do it.
I watched the first few minutes of it and there is where she keeps going on about how she made her best friend because her best friend was fat and that she knew she'd be better than her or something like that. Some weird thing. And I just watched and I was like, I'm immediately annoyed.
The Sherman Paladinos have a weird thing with weight. Because in the Gilmore Girls remake, remember in the summer one where at the swimming pool to start and they're just body shaming everybody?
Yeah.
So they have a weird blind spot when it comes to like fat acceptance.
I found it really like...
That would put me off as well, yeah.
Because this wasn't, it just wasn't clever and it wasn't like a description. It was like, I made friends with that girl because she was fat and I'm skinny. And I was just a bit like, oh, well, Mrs. Maisel seems like a psycho.
Yeah.
It wasn't like she was, it wasn't a description. It was just an out and out, whatever. Okay, so will we plug ourselves now?
Oh, should we do the bingo card first?
Oh, yes, yeah.
We didn't do it.
Bingo.
Bingo. It's not a bingo card. We have a printed out as a bingo card, but it really is just a checklist where we give points. So, Precocious Child.
Yes.
Rake of him. Yeah. Filmed in Vancouver? No, apparently.
Yeah, the exterior shots, it says on Wikipedia, or on IMDb, was filmed in Utah, it says exterior shots.
That's fair enough. Female lead has better lighting than everybody else.
She's lovely looking.
She is, beautiful woman.
At least she gets good lighting as well.
She does. Very attractive woman, yeah. A lot of the best friends in these films are redheads. Do you notice that?
That's life, isn't it, Alan?
I guess.
Yeah. Know your place.
Best friend with no inner life, yes.
Oh.
Double points. The least inner life of any best friend.
Inner life is being held in a dungeon somewhere.
Yeah. A wise widower. Yeah.
Yeah.
grandfather's pretty wise.
He's got his priorities right about life. Tamales and not doing homework.
Yep.
I agree.
That's fair enough. Works in marketing? I don't think so.
No, project manager.
Project manager, yeah. No alcohol. I don't think anybody drinks in this, do they? But there might be like
there might be stuff at the end. Yeah.
But yeah, not really. Capitalist X. Yeah, Scott.
Oh, Scott.
It's fucking worst. A protagonist who loves Christmas. Does she love Christmas?
No, not really, no.
It's just a job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Carlers. There is in the show, there's Carlers, isn't there?
Okay, I presume so.
I think there is.
I won't give that one because we're not sure.
I'm pretty sure there are. They think some.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give them one then.
Snowball fight.
No.
No. Horse-drawn carriage. No.
No. It's a cable car.
There is a cable car.
Yeah.
Not drawn by horses. Unless there's horses at the end walking on a
invisible
treadmill.
Invisible horses in the sky.
Really good Christmas decorations. Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole film just glows. Yeah. It's brilliant.
So we're hitting 10 already.
Yeah. Somebody actually says roast chestnuts. No.
No.
But we've done a lot better in this season than we did in season one, where it was just once, I think.
That's because of the last movie we're doing.
Yeah. Canadian sporting actors. I don't think so. Maybe.
Probably. I'm just going to say probably.
Probably, yeah. Snappy Beret. No, she's more business. Awkward family dinner.
There's a lot of, I need to talk to you, she says to her father when they step out of the room. So I think that's awkward.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the bit where she tastes Alicia's special coffee and leaves is awkward as fuck.
Yeah,
so,
poor Alicia.
Yeah. Beautiful Impossible Hair.
Yeah.
Alicia has very good hair.
They both have great hair. Yeah. Alicia now is given a chance to like really look her best.
Yeah.
So that shows that Alexa Vega is a nice person.
Mm-hmm. Mild peril lasting no longer than 3 minutes. Doesn't her daughter run off at one point? I think they can't find her.
Looking at the dancing. The mild peril could be, is Ricardo coming back?
That's
true.
I
don't think there is peril. Oh, your man trying to steal her job.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we'll give that.
We'll give that.
15 now.
Yeah, obviously fake snow. Pretty sure it was real snow.
It looked pretty good.
Yeah, it looked good. Big empty apartment. No, she's a child, so it doesn't count. Save the kiss till the very end of the movie. Yep.
Yeah.
Very 16. End of the movie. Yeah. A work Christmas party.
I suppose that thing at the end is a work Christmas party.
Yeah, because she works there now. So yeah. Secondary characters hook up. Alicia and her father.
In your mind. We're not giving it a point.
In the headcanon.
17.
Okay, I give it 18. And an in. So that's an in pretty much,
that's
isn't
an
it?
In, it's a lodge. So that's 18 in my view, 19 in yours.
Yeah, that's very high score.
Yeah.
That could be the winner, I would say.
Maybe, although Pride, Prejudice and Mistletoe is...
Yeah, we haven't recorded that one yet, you guys,
in.
But yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, there we go. So, plug some stuff. What do you got?
I'm going to plug my newsletter. It's Jean Sutton, Jeanne Sutton.substack.com. It'll be in the show notes. It's a newsletter where I send out something every week or two, a short 3 or 4 paragraphs of original writing, etc., etc. And will I plug a charity as well?
I'll do my plug first, so it's less of a tonal jar when I do it. So my other podcast is Juvenalia, which I co-host with Sarah Maria Griffin and Alan Tanham.
Great women.
And we talked to an interesting person about a bit of pop culture that was important to them when they were a child. And Jean did one of our very first episodes. And it kind of set the tone for how we did the show because Jean was so good. So you should go listen to that one if you listen to one.
I treasure
it. It was Beauty and the Beast.
That 2 hours.
It was one of the most fun ones we've done.
I love doing it. I think of it fondly.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to do a charity. And I've been doing a lot of homelessness charities, but I'm going to do a health one today. And it's called Endometriosis Association of Ireland. 1 in 10 women have endometriosis. And it's characterised by painful periods, fatigue, and some women don't have symptoms, but it's underdiagnosed. People wait years to be diagnosed, and this organisation helps with consciousness raising.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just make a small donation, they have a text thing, and they have iDonate. It's endometriosis.ie. So if you're having debilitating periods that are affecting your life and interfering with your day-to-day way of behaving, etc., calling sick to work, you should go see a doctor and maybe ask them, could it be this? So yeah, I'm going to help women out today.
Good.
Thank you, Alan.
Cool. So this is our second last episode. We have 2 episodes this week. Our final one will be out on the 28th with Patrick Frayne.
God, it's
season
Christmas,
2 nearly yeah. over. It's Christmas now. It's December 1st for us, but it's Christmas for you. And
what date is it today in the podcast?
20-something? I don't know. It's Christmas week.
Christmas Eve is coming up.
Probably.
Are you going to go out in your local pub?
I don't really go out anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm very sad. No, we all go for dinner like on the 22nd or 23rd. All the Waterford friends. So,
lovely. Yeah. I hope you get a lovely dinner.
Yeah, we go to the French restaurant. I eat snails. It's a good time.
I'm going out on the 23rd with a friend of mine who I get hammered with.
Nice.
Who knows who's going to meet me in the 23rd in Dublin?
Perfect.
Can't even tell you what we did the last time.
So, thank you to the Heads Up Podcast Network for having us. We are a very niche podcast and we're very happy they let us do this. Thank you to Dean McDonald for our artwork, which is beautiful. Thank you to Dan McCauley for our music, which is beautiful.
It's profound.
Profound. It's a beautiful rendition of that piece of music. And thank you to you for listening. We'll see you very soon. Bye-bye.
HPN, the Headstuff Podcast Network. See headstuff.org for more details.